Hey, everybody.
Hey,
did you miss us? You probably really did think we quit after our 100th episode. And I lied to you guys and said we're going to stop after 100. And then we basically stopped. We're back.
We're back. And it's Mean Girls Interrupted is the program you're tuning into.
Yeah.
And you're basically, the way this podcast works is we talk about a movie. We discuss the movie, we rate the movie, we review the movie.
We spoil the movie for you if you haven't currently watched it.
Spoil it. Every single movie that is talked about is past its expiration date.
Most likely. And sometimes even in theaters, it's past its expiration date.
Oh, yeah. And I would say the tone of this podcast is you guys are interrupting a current conversation that Travis and I were already having.
Yeah, we were having a full-on conversation for I don't even know how long, and it's irrelevant. But no, you guys aren't even interrupting. You're just listening in.
You're coming into it.
You guys are the voyeurs. Yeah. So it's basically your
the voyeurs.
Yeah.
If you're a listener, you're a voyeur. Call it the voyeurs and the foyer.
Yeah.
Is that a new
podcast title?
Yes. And
yeah, sure. You guys can have it.
Yeah, anybody can have it. It's fine. And I would say also that Travis and I are the authority on movies.
Oh, certainly. Yes. Yeah, we're the hall monitors. We're not like the official police on movies. We're like hall monitors.
We're hall monitors, and we're just sort of like catching you as you're really trying to get to the bathroom without a pass.
Right. So you're probably not on the bus putting this on speaker because you're embarrassed for people to know you listen to this. But also, girl, there's no shame in having so much fun with us.
There's really no shame in having so much fun. I mean, so to that end, if you don't have any shame now, like, comment, and subscribe.
Rate, review. Yeah, that's a call to action at the beginning. And also, just so you all know, this is a disclaimer because we haven't done this in a long time. When we rate, review, and comment about this movie out of our voice boxes, we know that it takes a lot of hard work, money, and effort by everyone involved to make a movie that might end up being a turd.
But we don't even care about that because despite all that hard work and all those hard efforts, all those filmmakers and craftspeople should feel fucked up and ashamed.
Yeah. You should, because we saw those videos.
Yeah, we saw those videos on screen.
And we saw them VOD because we had to pay for the movie we're talking about
today, which is what?
Lisa Frankenstein.
Lisa Frankenstein, which is a callback to the mall shop, Lisa Frank.
Which I think... Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Anyone out there, you can put it in the comments. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I think it's Lisa Frank because I believe she's...
Oh my gosh.
I think that is what it is. And we've all been pronouncing it wrong.
Lisa Frankenstein?
Yeah, no, not Lisa Frankenstein, but Lisa Frank that we all know. Those like hyper realistic colors.
Neon pinks and greens.
Yeah,
which this movie does take the Lisa Frank neon pinks and greens and tones and uses it as its main color palette,
which I'm here for.
I'm here for
color palette. I was here for the color palette.
They need to make a Lisa Frankenstein like eyeshadow palette and
Bratz doll Monster High.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Get out of my brain.
I can't.
No, I don't get out of my brain. I like you in my brain, Travis.
Yeah, me too. They're worms, by the way. I'm a brain worm. So good luck. It's terminal.
I do love worms. I currently have them.
A farm. You have a farm of worms.
I do have a farm of worms. And then that came from me. And then they came out of me and then I farmed them.
They're the tape variety?
They were the tape variety. And I would say I chopped it up to see what would happen. And then each little section piece became its own worm.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it became Ozempic.
It'd be crazy if Ozempic was just a worm injection.
It was like, do you remember those little dinosaur, the little pill capsules when you put water on them and it turns into a dinosaur?
Yeah.
That's what Ozempic is, except for it's just a tapeworm.
It's just a tapeworm. And that would be so Hollywood too, to be like, because I mean, they're injecting themselves with something that's not meant for weight loss.
No, it's literally for diabetes. Hi, everyone. get it fucking together.
You are crazy. So I feel like that would be a thing, like as long as it's like Pfizer branded, if tapeworm was like a new diet craze in Hollywood, it would totally happen.
Honestly. And it's just called tapeworm. Like no one gives, no one cares.
We're not beating around any bushes. The bushes are not being beaten around.
It's a tapeworm.
It's tapeworm.
It's like Fear Factor. It's a Fear Factor, but tapeworm.
Diet.
Yeah, and everyone's signing up.
Yeah. You know what I think is hilarious?
Oh, so many people's haircuts.
So many people's haircuts. And also just like the level at which facial reconstructive surgery in America, at least, is at. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like you could choose to do subtle this and that or the other thing, but they're like, no, 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 no. And like, honestly, no shame, you do you.
No, we love that for you. Honestly, yeah. I love somebody who looks not biologically real.
Yeah. So it's just like, what's the intention here? Like, what are you trying to do? It's like, it's so bold and audacious. Whereas in other parts of the world, like the plastic surgery is very like subtle and this and that and the other thing. And
John, I truly think it's a new status symbol.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why not? If you have enough money to look that
insane,
yeah. We have, it's different, like, words. They're synonyms, everyone. They are synonyms of each other.
It's like, how superhuman do you have to look? It's so crazy.
John, it's giving District 1 of Hunger Games. And I'm like, you know what? Bring it on, I guess.
Yeah. I mean,
that's cool. Where we're headed.
The Capitol was pretty interesting.
Good for us.
Good for us. Because I think about like, okay, maybe I'll eventually want to get some things done, but I know that it'll that I will want it to be subtle.
Oh, I'm for sure getting Botox. That's not even a question.
Yeah, because I like, my main thing is chicken gizzard here.
Oh, I get that. I get that. That's why I never shave my beard, because I'm like, there's extra here that I don't want.
Yeah, I have like looming neck meat in the near future. And
oh,
I just,
looming.
That's looming.
Cute. I
have like precursors to the gizzard.
Precursors.
And I know that I'm going to want to get that taken care of. And then, and because of that, subtle plastic surgery is fine.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun and it's cute.
It's cute. It's cute.
Speaking of cute,
Lisa Frankenstein.
Lisa Frankenstein.
Right. Lisa Frankenstein stars two people at least. And one of them is a Sprouse.
Yes, one of them is a Sprouse.
Who is a twin of another Sprouse.
Yeah, they're Disney, the Disney Sprouses.
The Diz Sprouse. Yeah. And who like girls are obsessed with of that age. They are obsessed with the Sprouses.
Oh, they love the Sprouses. Dylan's all over the place. The other brother, I think, does photography, and I think he's actually quite decent at it.
Cool.
Like, why not? If you have Disney money, go enjoy a passion. Live that you truly love.
Live your life.
Disney money is unreal, dude.
Disney money is absurd.
Yeah, it is.
I want Disney money. In a hypothetical situation, what if Disney acquired this podcast? And how would they change us? How would we be? And what would we do for that cold, hard Disney cash?
Oh, John, I would never. Listen, I would wear turtlenecks constantly.
Cool.
I would have a haircut every single week.
Yes.
I would look prim and proper.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be almost zero swear words out of my mouth.
Yeah, if Disney was like, okay, great, now we've signed the contracts, you have the cash in there, now burn all these plants behind you.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Because guess what? I could buy a whole new batch. Even though I took care of all of these, guess what? Yeah. There is a price.
Yeah. And
also, it's all of these plants.
And plants aren't real.
No, plants aren't real. These are all figments of your imagination.
I would sell out so hard and so fast because I've been poor.
Yes.
I've been poor and money does buy happiness. Oh, green lights.
Did you see what happened?
My grow lights.
If you guys are all on the YouTube medium, my grow lights just turned off and it turned night.
Ooh, night. Oh, right. Because I forget, without the grow light, your walls are actually green.
They are green.
Nice.
You can't see anything.
Yeah. So, Lisa Frankenstein is written by Diablo Cody.
Yes.
Who I had the pleasure of sitting in a Zoom room with.
Yes.
And talking to. And she's great, down to earth, working writer in the Hollywood system. And I liked her. I liked her vibe. She was cool. Yeah.
Do we know how much this... I'm going to find out how much this movie costs because I know your IMDb is in the toilet.
Oh, right no, now. I just renewed it.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Why don't you vamp while I go into it?
Oh, okay. So for all of you out there, if you don't know who Diablo Cody is, she did Juno. She did the critically acclaimed by us because we're critics, critically acclaimed Jennifer's Body. And then probably something else after that that I don't quite recall or remember. But those are the only two movies that matter.
Yeah, it does matter. Those are the only two. And also the hit series, United States of Tara.
Oh, my gosh. Of course that.
Oh, yes.
But that doesn't fall in line with movies. Of course, no. United States of Tara, which canceled way too soon.
Yeah, really.
That's actually a bummer. Oh, also canceled before it even aired. The Powerpuff Girls live action.
Oh, right. Yes, I was
looking forward to.
It would have been so fucking good.
It would have been good.
Oh, well, I let me correct that. It would have been so fucking good if it were like a rated R Powerpuff Girls. Right. Using the language we all wanted to see.
Yes.
And like. Yep. But yeah, but I don't know how indie this movie was because Lisa Frankenstein, it doesn't have a budget on here.
Oh,
but it did like at least make
$4,
$9 million worldwide.
Oh, so like chump change.
But you know what? I like having asked Diablo Cody a question in a Q&A, I can honestly say that I like her. And she is nice.
Listen, there is no doubt in my mind that she's a nice, incredible person. But I can't give anything away, guys, because you have to wait until the end. So.
So Lisa Frankenstein stars Catherine Newton.
Yes.
Who has been in things.
She has.
And Lisa Soberano as the stepsister. And one of the Sprouses.
So yes, cool. the Dylan variety.
The Dylan Sprouse variety.
Yeah.
Which is fun. And Carla Gugino as the stepmother.
Of course. Who, by the way, what a gorgeous face.
What a gorgeous face. I've been a fan of Carla Gugino since the Watchmen movie.
I mean, naturally.
Yeah, naturally. And
supernaturally.
Supernaturally, I would say.
A TV show not starring Dylan Sprouse.
Is it starring Dylan? Oh, it is not.
No,
you're right.
It's not starring. No, it's definitely not.
No. So Lisa Frankenstein, you can only guess from this iconic title what this movie's about.
There's a lot of things.
Yeah. It's definitely up Diablo Cody's alley.
It is.
no pun intended.
No.
It is 80s. It is teenager.
It is high school.
It is high school. It is deadly. It is dangerous. It is dialogue heavy.
Oh, yes, it is. And it is full of lines that people want you to quote.
They want you to quote. We're hitting them out of the park here, left and right. It's Lisa Frankenstein. Her name is Lisa Swallows. Lisa Swallows is our protagonist, and which I think is fucking hilarious, by the way.
It is hilarious, especially because you only find out her last name in the intercom from the school.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, so she's teed up to be embarrassed and humiliated her whole life. Lisa is a loser. However, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, which is so wild.
Insane. So, so she is living her life. She's going to school and everything, but she's the weirdo. And she's basically telling us the tale of how she has fallen in love. She has a very romantic streak in her. And in this fictional town, there is a real a graveyard of like colonizers past, where it was called the Bachelor's Graveyard. So it was where all the single men and women were buried. And there there's this handsome bust, cement bust, that she has like sort of romanticized and fallen in love with and talked to for years now. And so Lisa does her whole high school thing. She has a wicked stepmother, a nice stepsister, and a really weird dad.
An aloof dad.
And she's the odd one out, and she gets drugged at a party, almost raped, but not so much. And which I thought was a little weird.
I don't know, though, because I mean, it's kind of par for the decade. And also men are just trash.
Men are trash and gross and disgusting.
So honestly, it checks. That checks.
It does check and pay off later on, because it is like the reason why we don't feel bad. Why she does what she does. She stumbles her own way home, and there's a crazy little electrical storm, and something is struck by lightning, and the 1800s Romeo of hers shows up at her door. It's a zombie, and it's like he was reanimated from the electricity, apparently. Doesn't really go into it. We don't really explain it a lot.
No, but it's the Frankenstein element of it all.
It is the Frankenstein element of it all. And like, he's like, I've been listening to you, like read to me and whatnot like that. And so let's like be friends. And she like hides him in her closet. And I guess it all really starts to happen when somebody dies.
So what happens is,
it's a stepmother, right?
So Carla, here's the thing. Yes, but it all culminates in the creature, who is played by Dylan Sprouse, is sitting there with no hand and no ear, and he wants replacement body parts. And Lisa Swallows is like, oh, no, I can't fix that, but I can try to fix you. And the creature, that's his name in the movie, Dylan and them are at the house, and he continuously hears the stepmother be a giant, giant worm of a person. Mm-hmm. I was going to say another word, but we're a Disney podcast now. So
Disney money.
And so he, speaking of worms, spits a crazy worm into her peaches and cottage cheese to get some little revenge on her. This is the stepmother, by the way. And this is kind of in the beginning of the movie. We get to see all of these things happening while Lisa Swallows is at school.
Yeah.
And so Lisa Swallows gets home, and her stepmother is so crazy. And she's calling her the WHORE word. Mm-hmm. Disney. And so I don't know, Frankenstein's monster comes out of the closet and bashes her over the head with probably a Singer sewing machine.
Right, because Wicked stepmother is like, I am going to send you away, you crazy little slut. And then like Dylan Sprouse is like, because I love this slut. Yeah. And so he basically clubs her over the head with something from inside the closet, a sewing machine.
It was a sewing machine.
And then Carla Gugino is bleeding out on the floor and they're like, shit, we got to get her out of here.
But and not before they take her ear.
They do take, well, yeah, because a little tiny Frankenstein, Cole Sprouse, he takes her ear off and is like, you can actually do this. And so she sews the mom's ear onto Dylan Sprouse's
ear. Is it
ear.
Cole? I don't know.
Can't tell anymore. But like,
they're twins. They're identical. How are we supposed to know?
Yeah, but it's not. It's on there, but he can't hear anything. But she has this crazy idea to put him into this malfunctioning tanning bed in the garage. And it electrocutes him and sparks the ability to use that added on limb. So yep. That's the whole magic of this fucking movie.
That's the catalyst, is a tanning bed.
It's a tanning bed that malfunctions and electrocutes the person inside. And so she's like, let's get you some body parts. And so they start with the would-be sexual assaulter. And she basically lures him to this grave site and they just straight up murder him.
John, there was not even one moment of hesitation.
Not one moment of hesitation. Actually, she is a murdering person.
She is a murdering person.
She has no qualms with it. She is outside the law.
She doesn't care one bit.
Yeah, what she does care about is getting Dylan Sprouse.
Which one are we talking about now? I actually have no clue.
I don't even know. Joking. Cole Dylan Sprouse.
Yeah.
So what if they get his hand.
They take his hand off first. And then
she knows that it was really important for him to have a hand. And we learn why, because he can play the piano.
Yep.
And he starts playing the piano.
After, let me just tell you right now, that stitch work was amazing. She was able to stitch that hand on perfectly. And also, I love the color of that stitching.
The stitching was good. Also, we justify her being able to be really good at sewing because she works at a dry cleaner's as a seamstress.
Yeah, you guys can all.
The details are in there. Watch
the details are in the details.
The details are in the devil.
Yeah.
And so she I guess they decide like, hey, awesome, cool. Well, she falls in love with she has a romantic ideation of the high school photo club or whatever, this guy.
I think he does the school newspaper and he published her shitty poems.
Yeah. And so she's like gunning for this dude and all the while not recognizing that this zombie creature is the one for her.
Oh, yes. Listen, sometimes you cannot see past the nose on your face, even if sometimes it is falling off.
Sometimes that's exactly right. And whenever it falls off, it's too late.
Yeah.
So Frankenstein, Lisa Frankenstein and Cole Sprouse are they team up to try and get her to get with this guy. And she discovers this guy boning her stepsister and her
Which is not cool.
The stepsister fully knew
of
the crush and overstepped the boundaries.
Mm. She stomped all over. She didn't just overstep, John. She stomped all over it. She said, this is your grave and I am dancing on it.
Yeah, I'm dancing on that grave. And also I'm seeing that D and I'm S-ing that T.
Oh, yeah. And so many things with that D.
And like then capital. Capital D. And while while it was as a capital D and fully standing erect, Cole Sprouse was like, you know what? That's not anybody's D but mine.
Because then, I have not one.
No.
I have none. So I'm taking that D capital.
But I do want one to satisfy my Lisa Frankenstein. So he, in a heated moment of discovery of like them in bed together, Cole Sprouse with an axe lobs off that D, and we see it in shadow cartwheel into a trash can.
Okay, honestly, that's hilarious. And B, he is using a fire axe.
The precision was crazy. The cleanness was crazy.
Surgical precision with a fire axe to cut a capital D off.
And at this point, I was like, you know what, Diablo Cody, you better work, because
that's funny.
You have your shit into perspective. You know this industry is crazy and weird and stupid. And you're like, I'm going to write this scene and it's not going to fucking matter.
No. And it's hilarious that it happens in shadow and lands in a garbage can.
Which I was surprised about, because this is a PG-13 movie. So I was going into this movie being like, this is not going to be the best Diablo Cody situation, because all of her things can only work in an R rating. And I can see where they were pulling punches because of the rating.
Right,
which sucked.
And which we'll get into later, because
we're not there yet. Yeah. I know exactly what you're about to say.
Yes, you do.
Oh, and boy, do I hate a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
It's like trying to live in both worlds of PG and R.
Which honestly, it feels at this point like,
what's the point?
It's like, why are you doing that? It's like, skip PG-13. We need PG and R.
Yeah, like, haven't you seen, like, 16 and Pregnant? There are 13-year-olds getting knocked the fuck up out there.
And that's on television, and people are applauding it. I'm like, girl, you should not.
Yeah. Anyway, so, Lisa Frankenstein wants to be 16 and pregnant.
And so what she does is take that dirty capital D out of the trash can and sews it on to our Frankenstein character.
In the most romantic movie in cinema, or the scene in cinema.
Do you think she'd used a different color of thread? Or do you think she just used
the green thread? I think it was the green thread for sure.
I was kind of hoping it was like purple, you know, like for purple-headed yogurt slinger.
Yeah. Yeah, purple-headed yogurt slinger. But I mean, the guy, like, whenever he cries, whenever Cole Sprouse cries, it smells like sewage.
Yes.
So you can only imagine what that tastes like.
Oh no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh yes. So I think, first of all, if this were a rated R movie, Diablo
that yogurt's
movie,
rotted,
we would have seen the peen being sewed on
and chopped off. We saw it in Terrifier.
On. Yeah. Oh, we know what it looks like, and we're okay with that.
And Piranha, when the Piranha, you remember, guys, Piranha 3D, when that capital D gets spit out of that Piranha's mouth.
I do. And
you all know you were there.
Yeah. So she, do they make,
they
love?
Do. They do, but it's suggested.
It's suggested that they get real dirt nasty with each other.
Yeah, dirt nasty, because girl, you better clean those folds.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't know what we're creating here, but it's probably somewhere on par with like chlamydia and gonorrhea. But
I don't even know, John. It is a new, it's a new patient zero situation.
It's a patient zero situation for sure.
They're creating Swamp Thing.
They're creating,
that's where the Swamp Thing baby came from.
Yeah.
From all that mold and lichen. That's
a mold and lichen baby. Then
yeah. Swamp Thing.
But no, we're just kidding. So she lives her. She's like, I don't want to die before I'm, well, I don't want to die
not
a virgin. Yeah. She doesn't want to die a virgin. And so she's deflowered now, but the police are hot on their tail.
Right. About,
they're connecting the dots this way and that way. And then Lisa Frankenstein, she dies.
She does. But how does she die, John? She gets cooked in a faulty tanning bed by her own wishes.
by her own wishes, she self-immolates, basically, which is actually probably not an appropriate thing to say right now. But
well, I mean, some people don't know those headlines. It's fine. Self-immolation happens. It's totally fine.
And she gets into the tanning bed willingly and was like, make sure you turn it up to what was the setting?
Turn it up to max.
And so he does, and he kills her for her. And so they can be undead lovers because death isn't forever, apparently. Nope.
And that's the whole point of the movie.
Death isn't forever, but love is what is said. And
you guys, we barely told you anything.
Yeah.
And but also everything.
Yeah, because this movie is nothing and also some things.
Yeah, there's some things in it.
And I feel like there's a Lisa Frankenstein. There are Lisa Frank's colors.
There are.
There's Cole or Dylan Sprouse.
There's good music.
There's good music. And there's also good 80s music. However, they talk about The Cure, and I didn't hear one Cure song.
Licensing.
Uh-huh.
Licensing. That's it. That's what it boils down to.
Like, you cannot talk up The Cure so much and then not have a Cure song.
Right.
And your only 80s songs really that are highlighted are like the worst ones.
Which there was a song that they played twice, and I can't remember which one it was. And I was like,
I can't fight this feeling anymore.
Yeah.
Like
the
that
piano
one
version.
That's going to be your piano romance song.
Which? Sorry.
It's not the best 80s song. There's so many more good 80s songs. And
I do find it kind of hilarious.
Yeah, it's like hilarious because like you can peek behind the curtain and be like, oh, you guys couldn't afford anything else.
So
which sucks. But I mean, I feel like whenever I'm looking at this, the producers are Diablo Cody and another person. So was this an indie movie?
I don't know.
Was
it? I don't know.
Indie?
Maybe it was.
I don't know. I can't tell anymore because it was distributed by Focus Features, but which is Universal. So I don't know. I can't tell. I can't tell. It's so blurry between like what's indie and what's like just studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows anymore?
I don't know. And I don't care anymore.
Me either.
And so this movie was a comedy, horror, and a romance. I wouldn't say that it was exceptionally horrific, except for the gore parts.
The math wasn't mathing on the gore. Let's just put it that way.
No. Yeah.
John, it wasn't even PG-13 gore. We got more gore from Megan.
We did. And
also an ear was cut off in Megan. Is that where they draw the line?
People be cutting off ears and getting a PG-13 rating.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. And there could have been so much more done.
Right. By rating this R.
Yeah. By rating it R and having there be a lot more murders.
Yes. Very
much. A lot more. Let's just completely get every single body part for Cole/Dylan Sprouse by just going on a murder rampage.
John, this movie is May.
It's the movie May.
Except for less violent and, sorry, less interesting.
And less sexual.
Less sexual.
May was a sexual movie.
May is
a movie that you and I have resonated with.
Yes.
At least 25 years old now.
It's so good.
It is an indie movie with Anna Faris.
That is an indie movie. And it lives up to the hype.
Yeah.
Which there was none. So you're starting at the bottom, which means you can go all the way up.
There. And that was like during a time where like indie movies were, every single time you sat down to watch one that you knew was going to be indie, you were rolling the dice in a lot of ways. And that was like kind of the excitement about it. And that was one of those where you're like, yeah, this is a little weird and interesting and good.
I loved May. I've never stopped thinking about it. I think this movie is May for sure. Mm-hmm. Also, do you want to do a Rose and Thorn?
Yeah, I would say a rose for me.
Sure.
Was color palette.
Yeah, color palette was there.
Clothes were there.
Oh, the wardrobe? Yes. Wardrobe. I'm here for the wardrobe. Sets, even.
Sets, great. Color of the house, pink.
Lived
for that color of the house.
Because it was very quintessential 80s.
The quintessential 80s, there was a Tim Burton-y-ness to it. Without like going as far as that auteurship. And then a thorn would be... I don't want to like yuck on anybody's acting yum.
Oh, I already know.
But
go for it.
But Miss Lisa Frankenstein, I do enjoy what you were doing. However, it seemed like she didn't want to be in this movie.
I thought you were talking about the stepsister.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I'm not even shitting you.
I liked her more than the protagonist character. Because I know that acting is really tough and really hard and everything, but I know that this actress is super duper talented. Like, I know it. And I just feel like, I don't know if we were watching reshoots. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes. But it seemed like she just like wanted to show up and hit her marks. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's all they were. John, we don't even know how much time they had for this. This could have taken. Yeah. John, this movie probably was they had 16 hours.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, we got to make a movie in 16 hours. Go.
16 hours. Everybody hit your marks because we can't do any more takes.
Yeah, it's a one take wonders here, guys. But you like Catherine Newton seems like she has star quality for sure.
Oh, I liked her.
I liked her too. I do like her. She was in the movie Freaky. She's really good. And like, but in this movie with this role, she had moments.
Yeah.
But sometimes I was like, are we rushing through this movie? What are we doing? So maybe it was the direction. Maybe it was like something else going on. But this movie was not the vehicle for Catherine Newton.
Maybe not.
Yeah. She needs a good, good vehicle. And this wasn't vehicling for her.
Oh, no, it was a vehicle. It was just the parts were falling off.
It was in park and or neutral.
Yeah, or neutral. It was a neutral. It was a neutral, not in park.
Yeah, it was a neutral.
Like neutral. It was coasting.
Yeah, we can see a simmering star talent in Catherine Newton, but this wasn't the vehicle for you. Yeah.
The gorgeous makeup, though. We do love that for you.
Gorgeous makeup. Gorgeous makeup. Yes. But what was your rose and thorn?
So my rose for this would be... Ooh, that's a good question. I think I had a couple roses, but I'm going to do one rose.
Okay.
I think my one rose is truly, I lived for the wardrobe.
Yeah.
I thought the costuming was really great. I thought it really yeah. told the story. It
like
truly
that the 80s story. Goth, like
yeah.
Winona Ryder in Beetlejuice outfit.
Yes, yes,
really
yes.
Good.
I love the wardrobe in this movie more than anything. There was a lot of things in this that I did appreciate, but the wardrobe, yes, hands down.
Yeah.
My thorn is it seemed like there was just so much filler. This was a filler movie because there was
a lot much, between plot points. Enough, you mean between right, plot but, points? I'm like, what are we doing here?
The amount of dialogue per like things happening was a bit much. Yeah. I would say it was 60. So yeah, 60. Here's my math on that. It's 60% filler.
Yeah.
30% things happening. 10%. I'm on my phone playing a video game.
The same thing. Same thing to me. I was like, I don't know.
I was playing a video game, John. I'm not joking.
I was watching YouTube videos.
You were.
And watching this movie.
Right.
And I was like, this isn't a good sign. But also, like, they could totally have done away with a lot. If you really take away a lot of filler dialogue, like it could easily have been set anywhere else other than high school. They could have taken out all the high school.
It didn't have to be high school at all.
No, the high school thing is just like a gag now for Diablo Cody, I guess. Is that where
I was thinking the same thing? Thank you so much, because I literally was like, okay, this is her third high school movie, and it's all about this one person trying to go through some character arc.
Also, over the course of 20 years, like, give Diablo a chance.
Give her a break, everyone. The Powerpuff Girls, make that into a movie.
Like, how
John, she did a Powerpuff Girls movie instead of making it a CW show. We don't need a series.
From our Q&A, I know it's dead.
That sucks.
Totally. But that
sucks.
She is such a talented writer.
This has nothing to do with, I am so sorry. I truly believe there was some
bullshit and malarkey going on behind the scenes.
Oh, 100%. And you can tell.
What was going on in my head towards the end of this movie, I was just trying to figure it out. And I was just like, okay, what's going on here? What's wrong? I was like, this feels like it was a rated R movie.
Yes.
At one point in time.
Yes.
And then they did reshoots to make it PG-13, and that's why everything sucks.
Nobody wants that.
You know what I want? You know what I mean? Like, it was just like something was wrong here.
Yes, I seriously thought the same thing. I was like, this is all studio. The studio ruined this. This is why they only made $9 million.
The studio knows how to tank some shit. Like,
John, if it is in theaters and then goes to video on demand.
Day two. Like, John, it was like day two.
That was crazy. I remember texting you and being like, excuse me. Like,
but also they're renting it for $20.
Not worth it, because I watched it by myself. And so did you, because I accidentally didn't have time to watch it when it happened.
Yeah.
And so
I paid less money for a Dune Part 2 ticket. And I saw that yesterday. You must go see it.
Oh, I'm going to go watch it. I'm going to go watch it.
Did you watch the first one?
Yes, I did.
Did you like it?
To your request. Yes, I did.
Good. It's good. And the second one,
I did like it.
And
even better. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. Is that going to be our next movie?
I don't know, because I might not be able to make it this week.
Whenever, not our next one, but like whenever you do finally see it, we'll do an episode.
We'll do an episode.
Yeah.
Dune an episode. Yes.
Dune an episode.
Yeah. We'll be Duning it up.
We're going to be Dunining up. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, Dooney and Burke.
We're going to be Duning and Burking and also Duning all over the place.
Yeah, I'm Duning so hard right now.
Who isn't Duning so hard right now? I mean, Florence Pugh, Zendaya, Tim Schaal, Austin Butler, Rebecca Ferguson. I'm just listing the people who are in Dune at this point.
I mean, listen. Okay, we won't talk about that now. Let's finish our.
Yes. Okay. So 1 out of 10, Travis.
Okay, here we go. Out of 10. Out of 10 very warranted carjackings.
Yeah.
Which you guys, if you watch it, you'll understand.
Yeah.
Out of 10 very warranted carjackings from a super abusive person calling the most cool kid in this show a fruitcake.
Yeah.
I am going to give this movie. I didn't hate this movie. It had its issues. Mm-hmm. I'm just middle of the road. I'm fiving this. I'm high fiving this. I'm not going to give it a 6, but I'm high fiving.
We're giving a high five. You're giving a high five. A much ado high five.
I'm not giving 2 fives because that equals a 10, but I'm giving you a high five because.
But we know Diablo Cody. We know her personally.
High fiving this movie. That's it. Nothing else. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there was a lot of potential here that was not met.
I think it was actually wasted because I think shit happened and then they threw it in the trash.
It totally gives off like a shit happened at the studio level vibe.
Hate it. I hate that. And I hate that for Diablo Cody. So high five. That's it.
Look, Diablo Cody, if you ever want to, if you ever, ever feel the need to make a hard R Powerpuff Girl movie,
please.
You know exactly where to come.
Yeah, right.
And then exactly where to knock on our door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we love you. Oh, also everyone. Hi, we're a gay podcast. That's yes. late in the show. But if you're new here, just welcome.
Yeah. Hi. So
John, so out of 10, let's see. Out of 10 flying capital D shadows, what do you give this movie?
Well, I do live a life of capital D shadows. And I think that I would say it's, I am almost tempted to give this a 5 and just like be cool with it. And I think I'm going to do that.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a 5. I know it's lackluster and like not interesting, but it's also neither was this movie. This movie was also lackluster and non-interesting.
The movie was cute. That's it.
Look, it was a first time director and I think you showed what you can do. And like, I know you're going to fail up from this. The director will fail up from this for sure. Because it's like, there are merits and there are good things. And I think people who see this movie won't fault the director or the writer. Like they'll just kind of see it as like this, like fluff. You know what I mean?
That is the perfect way to describe this. It's fluff because guess what? You can get through this movie. You're going to be on your phone. Probably you're going to catch some bits and pieces and be like, oh, that's kind of funny.
But there were parts where I like honestly chuckled at like while I was like overhearing it from my phone. Too. I was just like, oh, yeah.
But okay. It didn't keep me off my phone. So high five to you, fluff piece. And if you want to watch it, I'm not going to tell you not to, but also
wait for streaming because be free to the people.
I'm sorry. Don't spend your money on this.
Do not spend $20 on a rental.
No, that is bad shit.
Robbery.
That is in this economy.
Robbery.
No.
Duping, I would say.
This is a dupe for so many other things.
Dupe, dupe.
That's it.
Well, with that, Travis, we did it again.
Yeah. And dude, what do we want to tell the people? Once again, disclaimer, everybody did such a good job trying to make this movie. We're sorry, the studio sucks. Big capital D's. Also, capital flying D's. Outside of that, don't go through your life just being like, I'm going to try and find somebody. That person might be right in front of you. And their
moral of the story,
their ear might not be there. Rate, comment, review, like, subscribe.
Also, just like be yourself.
Be yourself. Even if that's somebody live, from the 1800s just come back to life from a lightning.
You can only be one person, and that's you. And yeah, that's enough.
Sorry, you and Patricia.
You and Patricia, you are both enough.
Yes, you are.
And I think that we should always end this podcast on a moment of inspiration, if you will, because
John, inspire us.
We are Oprah. We are Oprah.
And we are stepping down from Weight Watchers for using weight loss medication. That's the tea, girl.
That is the tea, girl. Oh, Oprah's got dark ass secrets.
You know she does.
Where are those bodies buried?
I don't know. Probably in the Bachelor Cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So our moment, our ending moment of inspiration, Travis, today is... live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
Dance as if no one is watching.
Yeah.
And always wipe front to back.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll have to see you at the movies.
Roll the credits, Steve. Take that bag off your head. See you at the movies, whores.
Bye.
Bye.